Father, this is our cry, your kingdom come. Praise the Father, praise the Son. Holy Spirit, make us one. Hear the heart's cry of your people today, Lord. Thank you for your presence with us today. Move, Holy Spirit. Speak your word, Lord Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How wonderful was that? Thank you, wonderful team. Oh, the wonder you brought today. Thank you. Thank you. Everyone out the back making this happen. Please have your seat and glorious. Wow. My name is Andrew, and what an honor it is to be part of this crew. I tell you that right now. It's a great delight to share the word today. And if we've never met, let's catch up for a steak. You know, yeah, beautiful. Ah, the joys. You know, there are many joys, different joys in seasons of life. Life's not always fun and bubbles, you know. Got a lot of friends going through some stuff right now, but, you know, life has joys. If I was pinned down and said, give me three joys, it's okay. I'd think, I'd have to say, any time spent with my little grandson Malachi, who's in the house today, that's joy. Woohoo, yeah. Pretty much every October in recent memory with the Penrith Panthers is a lot of joy for some of us, 5 in 25. And any fun time spent with that cute little grandma down there is joy. But let me tell you, there is another very distinct joy, a distinct joy, and it's stirring me in this season of life, and I know I'm not alone. I think it's the joy of the Lord. I think it's God's joy, God's joy, something he's excited by. Where's this joy coming from? Let me spell it out. It's seeing people grow in God. You know it? It is. Well, put it another way, seeing them grow in their journey of following Jesus. It's great. Devotedly following, wherever they might be on their journey. Let me tell you, the young people in this church, INY, our youth crew, they are growing. Our kids' church, for goodness sake, what we hear, the stories, what the Rebecca and the crew out there, it's inspiring. I'm telling you, this team is growing and its kids are growing in their faith. And people who are new in their faith journey, you know, we see them growing. You know, I know a lot of people in my world who haven't even consciously started following Christ, and yet they're being shuffled along. I see what he's up to. It's exciting. As I look around here, goodness sake, the life journey, some of our connect leaders, our friends, our team. I mean, Nathan and Raylan Varlo, goodness sake, they're following Jesus all the way to Imagination's Tokyo in about a year's time. That's exciting. But not just that. I've been with Nathan the last 18 months. And just to see someone growing as they follow the Lord, it's real and it's inspiring. Everywhere I look, I mean, Mitch and Belinda are growing out of their brains. Pastor Jack, I mean, he's literally all over the world this couple of weeks. And just before he went away, actually, this is a private conversation, so I trust this won't go any further. But he literally told me the day he was getting on a plane, he said, brother, it's like there's a new mantle. This is our senior global pastor in this season of life. Mate, people are growing and they're following Christ. So let's, it's just something that, you know, I just feel needs to be spoken into, because you watch the growth that comes before us in the days to come. I mean, whatever field Jesus has called you into, you know, you might be in business, the arts, creative, health, whatever. In fact, it's not just about those fields, is it? It's about your heart. It's about the heart. A heart devoted to get with the program that God is laying before you now. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. Following Jesus. It's the big one. And I just want to really speak into that this morning. You won't hear this in the wider world out there, except for the Word of God. The world can try to ban it, burn it, mock it, discredit it, irrelevantize it. That's a word. But like Jesus said in Matthew, he said, heaven and earth, everything you see is going to pass away. My words will never pass away. So I'm going with him and what he says about following him. Like in like in John's gospel, you know, I just cannot get my head out of that book. You know, I've real deep diving the last 12 months or so. And look, it's not just good thoughts or philosophy. It's not Oprah Winfrey, you know. Who is it that we're actually following here? I tell you, this spells it out clearly. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Wow. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus is the eternal Son. He is literally God in the flesh when He came. I think we can listen to Him. The whole book of John continues in the same vein, testifying that Jesus is God and testifying that He is good and that there is life in His name. It's strong. You know, every great story has a turning point, a moment when things change. It sort of ramps up and brings it together. There's a shift. And in the Gospel of John, it's John chapter 10. In fact, closely linked to John chapter 11 when He raises Lazarus from the dead, testifying that He is the resurrection and life, having power over death. But that chapter 10, I tell you, and it marks a shift from Jesus' public ministry to His journey towards the cross. It brings a lot of things Jesus has been saying into a clear focus. It's a line in the sand. It's what God is looking for from us. And surprise, surprise, it is all about our response to follow Jesus. Everything. Now, what great illustration does He use to demonstrate this deep truth? Well, He uses sheep and a shepherd. The sheep and the shepherd motif features heavily in the Bible. In fact, it's a globalized animal, let's face it. I mean, I did a bit of looking around. Almost every language in the whole world has a word for sheep. And most countries on earth, you know, introduced sooner or later, have some kind of sheep. You know, it's a globalized animal. except maybe the Maldives. I don't know. I don't think there's any sheep there. But seriously, it's a global animal. And in John chapter 10, Jesus mentions His sheep 16 times. 16 times. Now, I've got to say this, but Australian sheep farmers, you know, I grew up on a farm, sheep farmers. We chase sheep where we want them to go. You know, normally, okay, we'll get the sheep in or we'll move the sheep down the back paddock. You know, there's motorbikes, there's horns beeping in utes, there's dogs barking, carrying on as we chase the sheep, you know. But in these cultures, they lead sheep, The shepherd spends time with the sheep. Think of young King David when he was a boy, you know. He's devoted to those sheep, and they are his livelihood, his passion. And the sheep's response is to be very devoted to the shepherd. He feeds them, guides them, protects them, you know. John chapter 10, Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees," He's winding them up. They're not good sheep, but anyway. "Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out." He calls his own sheep by name and he calls them out. "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." This, my friends, is the process of life, of kingdom life. This is our life. He calls his own sheep by name. By name. The very fact that this Jesus we read about, the Creator of all things and the Word of God, He knows you by name, which means He gets you. Yeah. Like that Super Bowl ad, He gets us, you know, about, I think it was last year. He knew me when I really didn't even know myself. I'm telling you now. But He called me out of a lost past and a false, confused identity, along with my sweet little fiance, and He led me out to Himself and then kept leading and guiding us for 34 years now this month, and by His grace somehow we've kept following Him. There are many stories like that here. You know, one night years ago, I was out in the foyer before an evening service, and a couple arrived from Newcastle. They'd driven all the way from Newcastle to pick up their troubled cousin. And they're a Christian couple from Newcastle. They picked him up, who lived near here somewhere, to bring him to church. It's incredible. I met that man. His name was Nathan. And we connected in the foyer and talked, and I took him inside and introduced him to another Nathan. And through the course of time, he connected in a connect group and different things. We literally saw God call him out to himself. Jesus called him out to himself. And then the process, as Jesus went ahead of him, and he would tell you, he shares a few troubled things at that time, but he followed Jesus, and Jesus brought people into his life. Some older guys are speaking to his life, his connect group, different things. And he led him and he kept following him. And bit by bit, all this stuff fell off him as the ongoing process of the Lord. And he was equipped, saved, filled with God, renewed in his thinking. And he's gone on to become a very significant leader in our school here. And he's a superstar, Nathan, if you know who you are. Actually, funnily enough, the other Nathan I introduced him to, which happened to be Nathan Varlow, these two Nathans ended up years later marrying two cousins, and they've got all these children. So life has turned out pretty well for that Nathan. But you see, that journey, if you know him, well, I met him the night his cousins drove down from Newcastle, and we saw Jesus call him out, and through all kinds of struggles and this, he followed. We can trust Jesus. In verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that they would have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." You know, people or systems or thieves can still kill or destroy, but Jesus is better than anyone else you've ever known, ever. He's the good shepherd. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." He's on repeat mode here, ramping it up. He so clearly just wants us to get this in our mind. This would, of course, make so much more sense after the cross to those disciples. They're trying to get a hold of what he's saying. But he says again, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." If one thing is clear, you want to be like those he calls his sheep who hear his voice and follow him. That's the key message here. And not the others. The others are shockers. You know, before you get to chapter 10, they've already planned and attempted to kill Jesus five times. You know, it says the Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" Probably not what you want to say if you know who Jesus really is. But some things become increasingly clear as we're drawn into a lifestyle of hearing and following Jesus. A few things. We don't do it alone. There is a secret ingredient, and it's really not all about us. We don't do it alone. You know, God has given us two things to help us truly follow Jesus. One is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life." None of this happens without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Unless the Father draws me," he can never cut. That's by the Holy Spirit. He says, "When the Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of sin and judgment, etc." He draws, convicts, and then as Jesus is about to leave, he says, "I have so much more to say to you more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." You know, it is impossible to truly follow Jesus without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. If I had to come up with a mission statement for the Holy Spirit on earth, I'd say this: his mission on earth is to turn non-Christians into totally committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might have heard that before somewhere. We need him. We seek him. We can be filled with him. We rely on him. There is no life without him. Holy Spirit. Now, the second thing God has given us to help us follow Jesus is the church. Really? Yes. Jesus says, I will build my church. It's the bride he is preparing. The body of Christ, we cherish his church. In Ephesians, he said, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, when people are truly sown into a church, engaging, serving, they grow. They grow because they're following Christ. He is the vine, we are the branches. Faith people grow best in a faith community with faith people. We are so diverse in our creation and motivational callings and giftings and purposes, but when he leads us into his purpose, it all converges. And that's found in the church and through the church. I'm telling you, he has a much bigger vision and plan for the church than any of us do. Look, I simply would not be here today, let alone serving in the capacities that Jesus has built into my life, if I hadn't been grafted by him into the local church. I cannot stress the extent of this in my own life, and I know many people who would testify that. Now, why does this church exist? Well, I looked it up on the website. Guess what? It says, we exist to turn non-Christians into totally committed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might have heard that before. Totally committed, aka devoted. That's what we're talking about here, devoted. Now, there's a secret ingredient. You know, some years ago, there's a bunch of us sitting around Pastor Jack's office, and he put this question out, and he wanted this answer. He said, what is the singular most vital thing we need to be a follower of Jesus? Well, I think I might have said love. Nah, really? Faith, obedience. It's certainly not just Bible reading, prayer, doing good things, theological study. What is this answer? You know, of course, when he said it, it's our love for Jesus. You know, it's the secret ingredient here. How do we develop that? Let me tell you how we do. By getting a greater vision of his love for us as the good shepherd. He spells it out in this book, again in that chapter, again and again, you know, who literally laid his life down for the sheep, for you, for me. We love him because he first loved us. Now, we do often need to make some adjustments from time to time, don't we? You know, I mean, the Ephesian church, for instance, Jesus gets up and he commends them. He goes, mate, he commended them for their hard work, their perseverance and discernment. I'd love him to say, well done, mate, for your hard work, perseverance and discernment. But he goes on, he says, yet, Revelations chapter 2, I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen, repent, and do the things you did at first. If you don't repent, I'm going to come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. All the influence, the life, everything going on through that church, they were going to lose it if they didn't get their love right. So from time to time, that scripture speaks to me, I don't know, about on a cycle about every 12 months. Okay, Lord, I think I'm, you know. So that's the secret ingredient. Every one of us, let's get that. Finally, I want to say, it's not all about us. This is the thing. There is an inner transition that inevitably comes as we follow Jesus. Something happens. It's a shift from a self-consumed life to an others-focused worldview. It's just, many of us, this is just our test. It's a heart change. It's just real. I mean, even in that chapter, Jesus launched the first world missions gospel declaration when he said in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, for those of us who are not Jews or proselytes, This was a big deal. It was underlying this was God's heart to redeem lost people. This is literally why Jesus came. He says in Luke, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. And again, those religious leaders of the day, they just couldn't get it. Back to the sheep motive in Luke 15. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. I love that picture. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. See the joy here? Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. And this is he says, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who did not need to repent. That's strong. One of the most striking things that Jesus came down, brought down from heaven to reveal is his heart for the lost. It really is. And the heartfelt value of each life, every soul in the context of eternity. It's a big one. And as we follow Jesus, make no mistake about it, his intention is to form and impart and imprint his passion for souls in us. We don't always know what to do, how to develop this, or where to start. Let me tell you, here's something. Easter's coming. We just saw there's invitations on your seat. Saw the video on the screen. You know, it's a time of year when people are far more likely to attend a church service.
Oh, yeah, mate, we go to church at Christmas and Easter,
you know. Well, what if the single greatest thing to ever happen in your friends' lives came from you inviting them to church? Think about that. And there's activities and food and even Easter eggs. It's part of the deal. Pray about that one. That person, and that one, and that one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray about that. As we come to the end of our service today, look, I'm telling you, I felt today this had to be spoken into. It's something from the Lord. Because it's like he is setting us up to grow in all kinds of ways. And he's looking at every part of his body. That's why we cherish the church. That's why we champion his cause. He's looking at you and he's looking at me. So the Spirit, I just believe the Holy Spirit's in this place this morning. And if the team would like to come here, I particularly want to pray this morning for anyone who has a stirring in their heart, a desire to hear Jesus' voice in this season of your life, this season. You may have heard him in seasons gone by. You might have heard, but there's God. And to follow him more. That's who we're going to pray for today. In fact, I'll just arrange some, we'll ask for some just private space right now. This team plays. Even if we just close our eyes and just sit in the presence. Lord, we thank you that you are here. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're in our midst moving. Oh, Lord. You know, maybe you've known him for decades. Or maybe you're just starting out on your journey of faith, but you know there's more. There's more. If you want to love him more deeply, follow him more faithfully, and reveal his life to more people in the world around you, that they would know who you know. They would know him. This is eternal life, Jesus said, that you would know the Father in Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Oh, Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer. So right now, if that's on your heart, if you're saying, Lord, I want to I know I need to hear your voice and to follow you with more of my heart. Just in your private space there, just raise your hand to God. He's the one we're praying to today. Just privately raise your hand to Jesus as we pray. Oh, Lord. Father, our heart's longing is to walk with you, to follow you, that you would lead us into the place where you want us to go, Lord. Lord, into those pastures, into those opportunities, into those kingdom significant activities. Lord, in our character, Lord, we just want to be more like you, the good shepherd. And Lord, you would come and you would live your life as a good shepherd through us. Lord, as we open your word, we would hear your voice. In the quiet place, your Holy Spirit would speak inner stirrings, promptings. Do this. This is the way. Lord, that our friends, our leaders, Lord, you would lead us through them. All the ways that your voice comes, that you would grant dreams and visions. You would show us things to come and where to position ourselves. And Holy Spirit, you would empower us. You would baptize us afresh with your fire and your power. And we would become everything that's in your heart for us to be. Father, we ask you this, every one of us, in the name of Jesus today, Lord.